Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Tour set, pop!
Okay, so we got an amazing email this week, and we just have to share it. So this is from Rachel, and Rachel says, "Hi, Kayla and Bethany. I just had to reach out to y'all because I have been binging your pod for about the past 2 weeks, like to the point where I listen to 3 to 4 episodes a day. I started to listen to some of y'all's most recent stuff, and then I was like, yeah, this is amazing. I have to start from the beginning. So I'm about 40 episodes in, and I've already listened to around the most recent 10 episodes. Oh my gosh. Thank y'all so much for inviting us into a small piece of your lives, because I do genuinely feel like a friend of yours from the welcoming environment that y'all create with the pod. Oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah, you're like, so
that's our
sweet.
Goal.
Yes, that's what we want.
And I love that y'all started the pod to connect with other armies. But since I feel like I know you both, I'll introduce myself to y'all. My name is Rachel and I'm 24. I'm from Tennessee originally.
I love how she's saying y'all. Yes. And she says she's from Tennessee.
It's amazing.
Okay, that makes sense. Yes.
But I went to undergrad in Georgia and then grad school in New York, but I'm actually back in Tennessee since COVID started. I was actually going to undergrad for pre-occupational therapy.
What? That is insane.
Through an exercise science major. So Bethany, I absolutely love when you talk about your experience.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Currently, I'm working on a temporary team management job for a car sales dealership and also finishing up my master's thesis.
Wow, that's so great. Yeah. So you're doing your master's thesis, but you're considering going back to OT school. Like, that's so much work. You must have a lot of ambition, but that's so awesome.
Yeah. As for my BTS story, thank you for sharing. We love these. Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of a newbie still, although they have consumed my life for the past 3 months. I have been aware of BTS for a while now. I actually studied Chinese, mad at myself that I didn't study Korean, to be honest, for 8 years. And I would say that I'm like 75% fluent now.
Wow.
But during my time studying language, I learned a lot about Asian culture in general, which K-pop is a huge part of. So I've been aware of BTS for years now, but I fought tooth and nail to not get into them because I'm stubborn as hell and know myself too well. Like, oh my God, Rachel, I relate to you on so many levels. Like, if anybody else besides Bethany had introduced me to BTS, I would have been stubborn. I would have been like, no. For years, I'm sure. And the language, oh my God.
I know, that's what I was thinking about. It's just like how you are pretty much fluent in Spanish, and she's 75% fluent in Chinese. Like, what? All the like cute little similarities.
So cool.
It's so awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So she continues. When I decide I like something, I fall headfirst and obsess over it, and it consumes my life. Yeah, same.
That's all with BTS.
Right. And so people warned me that I would feel this way if I got into BTS, so I fought it for years and pretended like they didn't exist to prevent what is happening to me now, aka BTS consuming my entire life.
Yes.
Anyways, Dynamite came out, and obviously I watched the music video, and I fell hard. And then it was the classic, okay, I just want to know who is who.
Always.
And one thing led to another. And now here I am 3 months later reading fanfics every night and having to constantly clear my YouTube history from my Taeyeon growling searches.
Oh my God. That is all too relatable right there. Like having
so
to clear
levels.
Your YouTube searches, like on my work tablet. Yeah. I have to clear my YouTube because I'm like, they can't know.
They can't know. And now I'm just mad at myself that I didn't commit earlier to this lifestyle.
Yes.
As for my bias, I fought this too again because I'm too stubborn. I remember watching the Dynamite music video for the first time and thinking, I don't know which one is the one in the green suit, but he knows exactly what he's doing and it's working. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, that was Taeyong, and he's been ruining my life since. No other explanation needed. However, the interesting thing is that the more I learn about Jungkook, the more he has just climbed up my ranking. Mm-hmm. And I'm at the point where I'm thinking, I'm double biased. Welcome yes. to the fucking club.
Yeah, everyone's double biased. Right.
My Taehyung heart is so fragile for the two of them. Mm-hmm. Yoongi is 100% my bias wrecker, and I have no words for him either.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh. This email is just so incredible. When we read this, originally when we first got it, we're like, man, we have to read this on the podcast.
Because there's just so many similarities between like Rachel, your life and your likes mm-hmm. and interests, and like the two of us. Like, oh my God, thank you so much for reaching out. Yeah. Like, we're so happy to meet you and to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. We love sharing like new ARMY stories mm-hmm. too on the podcast. And I just feel like Rachel, yours is so relatable. Like, this is all of us, everyone falling down the rabbit hole of BTS and just being consumed.
Just starting at needing to know who's who and just watching or reading fanfic every night.
Yeah.
And on that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, BTS really fucking pulls me out of my depression.
Yeah, man. But I can see it, and I just love that they do that for you.
Isn't it crazy? Yeah. Can't you tell a difference, like, today?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I can see such a huge difference. Yeah. Just because of, you know, BTS. Their impact. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, I cannot believe Sir Paul McCartney compared BTS to the Beatles.
No, this is crazy to me. Yeah. Insane.
So I really have to just talk on this. Paul McCartney was recently on a podcast and they were asking him if there were any current music acts that he listens to that showed, quote, true artistry for which the Beatles were known. And his response was, quote, for me, it's not really because of the music like it is for the fans, but for me, it's about just seeing some young kids go through what we went through. BTS, Korean guys. I like watching them and seeing what's going on. I think they're good.
Oh my fucking God.
Sir Paul McCartney said this about BTS. Yeah. Like, he stands, like, he enjoys BTS's music mm-hmm. and thinks that they're good and sees that they're going through, like, in terms of the fandom. Like, I like how he mentioned fans, you know, like, obviously BTS is hurdling way more obstacles than the Beatles had to. But, you know, just that he sees the similarity with, like, the fandom and just their popularity.
Yeah. And mm-hmm.
They're making good music that's true artistry.
Yeah. The fact that the question was framed in that kind of way, like, mm-hmm. current music that shows true artistry. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is something that we've said about BTS, that we truly believe in our hearts and souls. Mm-hmm. And to have Sir Paul McCartney himself. Mm-hmm. Of the Beatles say this.
I know.
It's just incredible. It blew really my mind. Is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're down for that, all of that, all of what has been happening is exactly what this episode
we're
is.
We're just really excited for this episode. Like, we spur of the moment decided to do this episode.
Because
we're just feeling the BTS love mm-hmm. and excitement.
Yeah. So if you're down for that, then you're in the right place.
All right. So in today's episode, Shattering the Glass Ceiling, we're pretty much going to go through all of the accomplishments or most of the accomplishments that we really felt that BTS was really impacting music as a culture. Mm-hmm. You know, things that they really have achieved that are just some of their top tier best accomplishments that they have succeeded in achieving as mm-hmm. BTS.
Yeah. But before we get into today's episode, we really want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs full of episode notes, important links, and pictures, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/stanningbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes. Any type of support you guys have to offer is super appreciated.
Yeah, thank you guys. Our charity of the month, we're not doing our December one yet since we were really late with doing our November one, and it's one that's super near and dear to my heart. We're going to continue this week with supporting the Alzheimer's Organization at ALZ.org. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who reached out, you know, about my grandpa passing away, and thank you for your kind words of love and support. That really meant a lot. And, you know, we're doing okay. We're going through the grieving process, but it was nice to be together and to be able to, you know, like have a funeral. Honestly, it's something that I'm grateful for in 2020. So,
all those messages were so kind. And I could tell that they, like, you know, they meant a lot to you, and that it really helped you. So thank you guys for all those kind messages, and then also deciding to donate alongside us to the Alzheimer's Association.
Thanks guys. Okay, let's get into this episode.
So let's go ahead and just start with what inspired this episode for us. This past week, Life Goes On debuted at number one on Billboard Hot 100. And I was just in total shock over this. I couldn't believe it, but my excitement was through the roof. I mean, I was really excited when Dynamite was number one and Savage Love. I was like, okay, you know, whatever. But I was more excited that Dynamite had been number one. But when I heard Life Goes On ended up being number one on Hot 100, I couldn't believe it, because it's a fully Korean song.
Holy shit.
And it's a slower song.
It's not like, this is not on. No. This is not, you know, Black Swan. This is not Fake Love.
Idol.
This is not Idol. This is fucking Life Goes On. When you sent me the news, it was like right at the end of the school day, literally like 6 minutes left in the school day when I got your text. I told my whole class, because they were having a work day. This was not just me checking my phone randomly. They were on a work day. It was the end of the day, whatever. So I just told them all, and they were like, all right, Mrs. Coleman, that's cool. I have like a reputation of being like that teacher who's obsessed with that one K-pop group at school. Anyways,
I love that. I love that for you, though.
It's really great. So I got this news, and it just made me so happy, so excited. Like it literally brought me out of my depression. I'm not kidding. I wasn't even this excited for Dynamite being number one, and that was their first number one. But something about this being fully in Korean, you know, but I've just been on a high ever since I got the news.
Yeah. And so you came to me, we should totally do a podcast this week. And I was flying back from seeing family, and I got the news, and I was really excited when you said that. I was totally down to record an episode, because this is just such a huge monumental moment for them. And so we just felt it was perfect to just talk about how BTS breaks the glass ceiling, like how they really have overcome so much from the very beginning. So we're gonna go through it, guys.
So just a little bit of info about where BTS came from to really put this into context for you. BTS debuted in 2013 with the smallest entertainment company in Korea. They lived in a two-bedroom, two-bathroom dorm with a small kitchen and living area. They had bunk beds, and they wore the cheapest t-shirts and undergarments possible.
They recorded their very first album, Too Cool for School, in a garage.
Fucking garage. Crazy.
They quite literally came from nothing, and they did have everything against them from their debut.
Yeah, because at the time, the K-pop industry was controlled by the Big Three, which has now been dismantled. But the Big Three originally was SM, JYP, and YG. These three companies dominated the Korean music industry for over two decades. And although some other entertainment companies existed, none were as successful as these three until Big Hit and BTS came along.
It's just the Big Three was really two decades of dominating the Korean K-pop industry.
Yeah.
And then Big Hit. It's crazy. However, it wasn't an easy road, and it took a long time for BTS to gain any sort of notoriety and recognition, even in their own country, not to mention the world. It really wasn't until like 2016 that they started to gain some recognition.
Yeah. So with all of this in mind, we're going to explore BTS's biggest accomplishment, as Bethany said, their glass ceiling shattering moments. These are the moments that wrote history and also changed their lives forever.
All right. So we are going to start with the year 2016, because this is when those glass ceiling shattering moments started. So in 2016, BTS won the MAMA Artist of the Year Award, which is basically the largest award that you can get at the MAMA Awards. And so,
which are the biggest awards in Asia, the biggest music awards in Asia. They're, you know, comparable to the American Grammys.
So this moment was just huge, because up until that point, it had been SM, YG, you know, the big three. And so for BTS to win this award, it was truly shocking. And we rewatched them going up and accepting this award. Almost every single one of the BTS members cries. I mean, they are just blown away. They are just so shocked and surprised, but they're so grateful. And you can just see that this was such a huge moment for them.
This was a huge moment for them. And I mean, I didn't even think about how the fact that it was really just the big three that had winners before that, you know, for BTS to come out and win Artist of the Year, and they really had not won any sort of major award yet, you know, this was, they were so grateful and so humble. And like to see Yoongi break down and sob at the end of their acceptance speech, like, man, this meant so much to them back then. This was the biggest thing in their life. They couldn't believe that they reached this moment.
To see Yoongi break like that and just full tears, I think in that moment he maybe thought that that was like the peak, or that was, they had achieved what they needed to achieve, and here we are.
Like, they never thought that they would get to that point.
They really, and they've said this a lot in interviews, that they never thought that they would be what they are now.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning.
Just the beginning.
So in 2017, BTS for the first time performed on American television at the American Music Awards, and they performed DNA. This was a huge moment. We've talked about this moment a lot because Bethany hosted a party for it. We had a ton of friends who aren't even into BTS watching. And
this is also right when we started to stan.
Yeah, this was our first comeback, you know. This was a huge moment for us, but this was a huge moment for BTS. For them to perform on American television was them really breaking into the Western scene.
And at one of the major music award shows in America, like the AMAs is one of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
And so that they were invited to come on to perform DNA, that was their first time ever performing on American television. And ever since then, it's been nonstop. I mean, that was monumental.
Yeah.
They were also the first Korean artist to appear on Spotify's Global Top 50. Also, such a notable thing to happen for them. Spotify is the like largest streaming platform right now.
Yeah.
And to be the first Korean artist to achieve getting on that global Spotify Top 50 list.
Yeah, that was huge for them to do that. And, you know, since then, they really haven't left that chart. They've just maintained. They were the first Korean artist to be nominated for and to win Billboard's Top Social Artist at the Billboard Music Awards that same year. And they also continue to win that award every year since then.
Yep, every year they have won Top Social Artist.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also, in 2017, started the UNICEF Love Myself campaign to end violence. The campaign ended in 2019 and was the most successful UNICEF campaign
fucking crazy
of all time.
Insane to me.
That's crazy. I mean, UNICEF is one of the largest organizations
in the world. Everybody knows about UNICEF.
I mean, this is what I learned in during my master's degree. We really like talked about UNICEF, you know, in terms of healthcare. So yeah, it's huge.
especially because this campaign culminated with BTS themselves speaking at the UN. To speak at the United Nations, like what was Namjoon's speech? Like a 7 or 8 minute speech. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Monumental. That is a historical freaking moment.
Yeah. It's one thing to just be invited, but to be speaking at the UN,
to the entire room, all of these diplomats, all of these important people mm-hmm. from all over the world. Incredible.
Yeah.
Really, their reach is crazy. Mm-hmm. So in 2018, BTS became the first Korean artist to perform at a U.S. stadium and also sold it out, of course.
Yeah.
This, of course, was Citi Field in New York, their last stop on the Speak Yourself tour in their North America leg.
Yeah. That I remember that happening and how huge that was. I remember going over, I'm sure on the podcast, we talked about how many seats are in that stadium. Mm-hmm. I talked about how the Beatles had performed at Shea Stadium.
And how that was
and
huge.
How that parallel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was in 2018.
And Jimin crying at the end and Namjoon saying, please use me. Please use me to love yourself.
Yeah.
I'll never be over it. Never.
They were also the first Korean act to perform at the Billboard Music Awards, and they did this with their fake Love, Love Yourself Tear comeback.
Iconic, I just have to say.
It is iconic.
It's fucking iconic.
This is also when we saw Jungkook's abs for the first time.
That's why it's iconic. But also,
but
like,
it was a huge stage for mm-hmm. them. That was how they came back. That was with an American television show, and it was the Billboard Music Awards. I mean, it's huge.
Huge. And ever since then, they've been like, we're going to have every comeback, you know, on an American stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like our first live performance, an American awards show or something of the sort.
Oh, yeah, always.
They've maintained.
They have.
Crazy. Okay. Also, 2018 was so huge. They received the Order of Cultural Merit Award from President Moon. This is a huge award of achievement, basically just saying that you are a huge ambassador and a great example of what it means to be Korean and to, you know, share Korean culture with the world. So this is a huge honor.
It's such an honor and a rare honor, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to receive this award.
Yeah, incredible.
So in 2019, BTS became the first Korean group to perform and sell out Wembley Stadium.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The largest stadium in the world on this planet.
Yeah. Mari was there.
I know.
And she just got her package in the mail, the like the recording of it.
Really?
And she sent me a picture of, she was like, that's me. Mm-hmm. Like she found herself. Incredible. Tell us, how does it feel to have been where history was made for BTS?
Truly, at Wembley.
Yeah.
I wish I could have been at that concert.
Oh my God.
Can't
incredible.
Imagine.
Also in 2019, BTS became the first Korean act to perform on Saturday Night Live with Boy With Love. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, incredible performances.
Yeah.
Incredible. And the live vocals and the live band, yeah. It was so good.
They did the mic drop break,
dance break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh man, J-Hope. I can just picture the hip thrusting. I'm really double biased.
Oh my gosh. I mean, how could you not at this point?
Oh, wow. Okay. They were also the first Korean artists to be nominated and win Best Duo Group at the Billboard Music Awards.
Oh my God.
So this was the year that they were like, okay, yeah, top social artist, whatever. Best Group. Yeah, that ended up becoming a reality for them. They won something, a major category other than just top social artist. Not to say that that wasn't important. That was huge for them.
Right.
But it was kind of like the foot in the door for them.
Yeah.
For these awards.
Everybody knows that BTS has a huge social media presence. Mm-hmm. So to win top social artist, especially after all these years, is not that surprising. But for them to have used that to really get their foot in the door, it's like they're just constantly building. And so now at the BBMAs in 2019, they come back and they get Best Duo Group.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember some of the people that they beat out for this, like Dan and Shay, or like
Maroon 5,
the Jonas Brothers, or something,
yeah.
Right? Like
big groups.
Mm-hmm. You know? But I mean, we were like, hopeful, but cautiously hopeful that they would win because, you know, we just don't think that they get the recognition they deserve. And so we wouldn't be surprised if they were snubbed, but they fucking won. Incredible.
Yeah. They do get snubbed a lot.
They do get snubbed.
Still.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Always. That's why we're talking. That's why we do stuff like this to be like, look at all of what they have done.
Yeah.
Also in 2019, they won all four Daesangs at MAMA, and they are the first artist ever to do that.
So we had just talked about in 2016 when they won Artist of the Year, but then they ended up winning all four Daesangs. Like, wow.
Wow.
All four of them to come that far.
In 3 years. Oh my fucking God. It's insane. It's truly insane.
They're making history.
Exponentially.
And they are just... they're a special group. There's a reason why they are where they are right now because they have such talent and there is really something about them. They are true artists.
True artists.
They deserve all those awards.
Do you know you can say now they are true artists just as Sir Paul McCartney said? You can like quote him now.
I can quote Sir Paul McCartney to all those assholes who think I'm crazy to compare BTS to the Beatles. Like, joke's on you, because now I'm just going to quote Sir Paul McCartney to your face.
Yeah, tattoo it on your forehead.
Shut up. Stupid.
Post it on Facebook.
Tag Mark. Kyle.
Go public. There's probably a chat out there, too, who needs to hear it.
So now we've come so far so fast.
BTS has come so far so fast. It's
can we stop?
Can we just
we're being ridiculous.
No, it's so cute.
This episode is so fun. I'm so glad that we're doing this.
Me too.
Because we did this so spur of the moment, just excited to talk about BTS and had to share it with all of you guys. Like, we just needed to talk.
Like, I couldn't wait another week.
Yeah.
We had to talk to you guys about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But BTS really has come so far so fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and get into
a fanfic about that somewhere.
Okay, so getting into now 2020, going through all this research, we have come to find that 2020 has been just a year full of so many accomplishments for BTS, like monumental things that are breaking records and making history.
Yeah.
So 2020, BTS is the first K-pop act to present and perform at the Grammys. That feels like a lifetime ago, but that happened at this the beginning year. Of this year.
That's fucking crazy.
This is when they performed Old Town Road with Lil Nas, and so they got a Grammy stage, which was huge. It wasn't their own, but it was something. And they also got to like present an award at the Grammys. Mm. Crazy.
Just got their foot in the door, you know?
I mean, it's always been these little steps up the ladder for them.
They never have a big jump, you know? That's something that they're not afforded. Mm-hmm. I think that there's too many biases against them. And so they don't have like this huge jump, you know? They'll have an exponential increase in fans, but not in payoff as far as getting globally recognized. So like these little increments that we see, I mean, it happens relatively quickly, like since 2016. It's, you know, 4 years, you know, but like at the same time,
they just have to chip away at like the xenophobic white guy, you know, sitting behind all the who's a part of the academy.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically what it is they've just been chipping away the norms and the standards and like chipping away the glass ceiling, I guess. Like,
and I think
they just keep breaking through it.
They just
more and more.
There's so many places in their career where people have said, you can't achieve this. Like, there's no way BTS is going to do that. Like, obviously it's going to be this other group or whatever, or BTS doesn't deserve that. Every single time that someone has said that and they've gone on to achieve it, they've broken through that glass ceiling because somebody said you can't, and they did.
They did.
And, you know, so all of the people that are, you know, really working to not recognize what they're doing, BTS is still chipping away at it.
Yeah,
like, you're really not, you're just putting off the inevitable.
Exactly.
Really. Yeah. So BTS also made history in 2020 by first performing the first virtual concert of its kind, Bang Bang Con, the live. Mm-hmm. But then later in the year, in October, of course, they performed Map of the Soul 1, which had the largest audience in history for any concert. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that it was virtual really helped out with that, but nobody else is doing it.
Yeah.
They had 993,000 authentic viewers, live viewers at the time of the showing. 7,000 under a million.
Basically a million. A million.
That's fucking crazy.
People watching for the Map of the Soul one concert.
At one time. At the same time. A million people in the world doing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
For BTS. That's insane.
It is insane.
Have a million people in the world done the same thing at the same time ever?
Mm-hmm. Ever? I wonder if BTS even knew when they were performing that concert that they had a million eyes on them. Well,
2 million.
2 million. 2 million eyes on them.
2 million eyes on them. I doubt it.
Okay, but they had a million people watching them.
Yeah. Crazy. Wow.
So in 2020, they also had the best selling album of 2020 with Map of the Soul 7.
Fuck yes. Deserves
it. The best selling album of this year is Map of the Soul 7. But that's just... it's such a great accomplishment for them, and Map of the Soul 7 so deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a sentimental album for BTS and for ARMY, and for it to be the best-selling album of the year, I think it's just like the cherry on top.
It really is.
Yeah. So also in this year, this was huge. This obviously made the album for B, where Dynamite hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for 3 weeks. Crazy. And this was their first song ever to hit number one, and right now, as of recording this episode, it is still number three on Billboard.
Yeah, it went back up the charts because of B's release. Yeah, this was obviously monumental as well for them. This was the first time. This is what B's skit is about, is their live reaction to finding out that Dynamite became number one on Billboard Hot 100. And so what's so special about this is that not only was it the first time, but like this was their first fully English song too.
Yeah.
So I think that it was just like such a sweet, sweet moment for them, like something that they thought maybe would never happen, and they were able to achieve this. And it just makes what's to come so much better.
Yeah. Also with Dynamite, because it was so popular, they were nominated for Best Group/Duo at the Grammy Awards for their Dynamite performance.
We should be referring to BTS forever now as Grammy nominated BTS.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. For sure.
And then shortly after that, they ended up getting back on number one on Billboard's Hot 100 with this Savage Love remix, which of course only had Jungkook and Soap on it, but it's still such a huge moment for that.
It's better than the original.
It is better than the original.
They being on the track on this remix is the only reason why it was number one.
Number one.
Yep. It was never number one, just the original song.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that was pretty special.
Pretty incredible. And then just shortly after, just this week, just yesterday,
yes,
as of recording this episode, Life Goes On hits number one on Billboard's Hot 100. This, of course, is a mostly fully Korean song. Mm-hmm. It's the first non-English song to ever debut at number one on Billboard Hot 100. And this is only BTS's, of course, third number one hit, if you're including Savage Love Remix.
Yeah. Huge. And while there has been Spanish-speaking songs such as Despacito and the Macarena to top the chart, they had to climb the charts. They didn't just debut there. So what's huge about this specific award is that it's the first non-English song to ever debut at number one on the Hot 100.
Yeah. It's crazy that in just 1 week, it's number one. It didn't have to climb at all.
Mm-mm.
It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a different song than Dynamite. I think what's really important and monumental about this song, and I think why it made me so happy, is because it's not in English. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of critics were saying, well, yeah, BTS, just because of their popularity existing already, Dynamite being in English, that's the only reason why they're number one, you know.
Yeah.
The fact that it's in English is the only reason. Mm-hmm. And it's so fucking gratifying, mm-hmm. and like amazing that this song, Life Goes On, fully Korean, is yeah. number one.
I know.
Number one.
It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. And I think that's why we got so much more excited for this one. Although I was through the roof, like I said, over head over heels about Dynamite.
Yeah.
But to see that Life Goes On, a fully Korean spoken song.
I want to know BTS's reaction.
I do too.
Because, they made a whole skit on the album for finding out Dynamite, reacting to knowing Dynamite mm-hmm. is number one. Mm-hmm. I wonder how they fucking feel with their fully Korean song, this, what we've already talked about, this slower song. This is not On, this is not Idol, mm-hmm. you know, this more relaxed, chilled, laid back song. But what's also so purely BTS, for any part of B to get this kind of notoriety mm-hmm. immediately, the first week after being out,
it's debut week.
Huge. This is debut week, and this is them, you know, this whole album is absolutely 100% them and their music and their sound, and like for that to be number one, it's so validating.
It is so validating. Like, there's not as many additional people involved. They, from the very beginning, have been telling us back when we were in our quarantine, and they were letting us know that they were working on an album. They made it very clear that all of them had individual roles. During the press conference before they released B and Life Goes On, they talked at length about every single member's important role in this album, in the creation of this album.
The creation of every single mm-hmm. song and what they did and what they wanted. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So I think I can go ahead and just lean into this too. We might talk about it again later, but like, not only is it Life Goes On is charting on the Hot 100, it's number one, but all of the songs on B, excluding the skit, is on Billboard Hot 100 right now.
That's crazy.
That is insane.
You guys, stream the skit.
Yeah.
I used to listen. I don't skip it.
There are some armies that have like really dedicated, like, I'm never skipping skit. I'm never skipping it because we're going to make that girl chart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you're just so eager to get to Telepathy.
I know. It's so true.
But yeah, just, we're so excited and happy for them. Just over the moon.
Yeah, over the moon. So yeah, for the entire album to be charting, I think is also fucking huge. I can't wait to see how all of the songs continue to go up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I really think they will.
Oh, there is one more thing I want to say about Life Goes On and just all of these Hot 100s. It is so special that it has been like four of the BTS members' birthdays when all of this has happened.
Yes.
So all four times, or I guess five, well, it's been on five. They had 5 weeks on Hot 100. But for four of them, it was BTS's birthday. So we did this for Namjoon, Jungkook, Jimin, and Jin's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So special. Like, the best birthday gift.
The best birthday gift. Mm-hmm. Like, Jungkook was the one who found out around his birthday for Dynamite. Mm-hmm. Incredible. I mean, I bet they are just freaking out right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I doubt that they expected this. I think they had high hopes, right? Mm-hmm. I think Yoongi's really confident about the music that they make.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that he's really ambitious and he has a lot of goals. So I'm sure this was on his list.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But, oh my God, I bet they're freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
I just really need to just go off for a second a little bit about this New York Times headline about the news that, you know, Life Goes On is number one on Billboard Hot 100. So this article, I'm not even going to say who wrote it, but it's called BTS Debuts at Number One and CDs Play a Major Role. So let me just tell you why.
Stupid.
That whole point is
that,
just...
That last, the comma, and CDs Play a Major Role. Is like, really?
Invalid.
You just had to add that in the fucking title.
No, yeah, they just had to put it in there that the CDs play a major role. So ridiculous mm-hmm. and so unnecessary. And let me tell you why. Okay, so in the first week, this is just the first week of sales, digital sales, like buying it like for $1.29 on iTunes or mm-hmm. whatever, they just had 129,000 digital sales. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then 20,000 physical copies in the same week. So basically 150,000 sales of mm-hmm. this album mm-hmm. of Life Goes On in the first week.
In the first week. Just and we don't think this includes pre-orders or anything like that.
That is a very small mm-hmm. fucking number.
Yeah.
Okay. Guess how many streams there were, Bethany?
Well, I can see it on the dock in yeah. front of me, but I couldn't believe this number.
14.9 million streams in the first week.
14.9 million.
And someone has the audacity to say that BTS is number one on Billboard Hot fucking 100
yeah.
because of CDs. Mm-hmm. God forbid. God forbid they distribute music, the traditional way of music distribution yeah. via physical copies, by the way.
But it's all they have. It's all they have to like kind of make it sound like, oh, it's only because they sold their CDs. For them to say it's only because they sold their CDs. Like that just sounds, they need to say, did that guy
read it out loud?
Did he say that out loud? It's only because they sold their CDs.
Here's what I think.
And it wasn't repackaged. Mm-mm. There was only one album, mm-hmm. not four versions, mm-mm. just one version. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like they did nothing, you know, extreme to try to sell more copies
no.
of this, the CD.
No, like, okay. This dude who wrote this probably just submitted to his editor and his editor was like, yeah, we've written the same story about BTS, just like this headline, like six times already. Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed. Send it on out. You know?
Yeah.
It's different because of what you just said. They did not sell multiple different versions of the same album, which in the past critics have said, okay, well, with Map of the Soul or with, you know, Persona or the Love Yourself, there are four different versions mm-hmm. that you can buy. And people do buy multiple versions. Some people buy all four versions because they're looking for a photo card or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so like you could say, yes, that can definitely boost physical copy album sales. Mm-hmm. But for this album, it is one version.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to buy more than one because yeah. in the one version, I think this is very intentional on BTS's part. It has everything. It has seven photo cards. Mm-hmm. It's all the same photo cards no matter what album you get.
I think
it's
think they felt it needed to be that way because they all worked on this album. So they just feel like it just needs to fully be everything them. And so all seven of them are in there. You know, I think it just needed to be put into one. This album is perfect. This is just, we've said it so many times, but it is BTS to the core. So yeah, this is just, this article, that last little piece of the title is so stupid.
So fucking stupid.
And like when you actually go and look at the numbers, like 20,000 physical copies within the first debut, the debut week of it, the first week. Not really significant. Yeah.
Because it's COVID.
Compared to 14.9 million streams. You know, like you're not going to mention that.
You're not going to mention that it was literally streamed the most out of any song in the world mm-hmm. in the first week, but you'll mention 20,000 physical album sales. Mm-hmm. Stupid.
Yeah.
You know, so I did find this really great article by Brian Raleigh, and I think that we've talked about one of his articles before on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But he just had some amazing points about BTS and this song and their achievements here that totally counteract that stupid ass article from the New York Times. So here's another history-making, glass-ceiling-shattering moment. Brian Raleigh notes that the rest of B's tracks also sold extraordinarily well, making BTS the first act in U.S. history to claim the top six spots on the digital song sales chart. So not for, like, streams. I'm not mm-hmm. talking about Billboard Hot 100, mm-hmm. but for sales, for how much, you know, money they made, they're the top six. Everyone besides the skit.
The first act in U.S. history to claim the top six spots.
A fully Korean album.
That's insane. Yeah.
Fucking incredible. I'm so glad.
It just shows how big ARMY is yeah. and how many people around the world really love them.
Yeah. I mean, and to me, just because of the uniqueness of this album and like the purity of this album, I feel that it yeah. shows how incredible BTS is. It's another yeah. testament to that they are just true artists completely.
There is something real stupid going on with the American radios. Mm-hmm. I don't know why BTS continues to not really get many radio spins. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did get some with dynamite and mic drop and stuff, but just, like, not to the extent of, like, what you would expect for the number one spot. Yeah. They should be getting more.
They should be getting a ton for how popular their songs are.
So another monumental moment that's mentioned in this article is the superstar boy band has also notched 3 number one hits faster than any group since the Bee Gees in 1978.
Crazy.
Who performed a top charting hat trick with Saturday Night Fever. Singles How Deep Is Your Love, Staying Alive, and Night Fever. Over the course of 2 months and 3 weeks.
Wow.
Wow. So they beat out all of that. The last group to score its first 3 number one singles faster than the BTS was the Beatles back in 1964, rocketing to the top of the Hot 100 with I Want to Hold Your Hand, She Loves You, and Can't Buy Me Love within 2 months and 3 days, which, like, those 3 songs by the Beatles are some of their best. Like, yeah. Everyone knows
their
these
most
songs.
Well-known songs.
Yes.
Yeah. Incredible that BTS is here again, mixed in with these huge names. Mm-hmm. And I think just seeing this in this article after hearing about what Sir Paul McCartney said about BTS just makes it even more sweet.
I know it does. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And just to put icing on the cake, Brian Raleigh says, Dynamite rebounds to number 3 on Hot 100 this week, as we already mentioned, making BTS the first group to occupy 2 spots in the Hot 100s since 2009, you guys, since the Black Eyed Peas with Boom Boom Pow and I Got a Feeling, which were huge fucking songs.
Huge.
Everybody knew those songs. Everybody listened to those songs.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that BTS, like, is beyond that.
Yeah.
They're beyond that. I mean, if the fact that they still don't get recognition from people and the people still don't listen to them. Mm-hmm.
And they still don't get radio play.
Crazy.
Yeah. Lastly, for 2020. They're the first artists to top 3 Billboard charts at once. Hot 100, the Global Chart, and Global Hot 200.
Wow.
All 3 of them.
Crazy.
At once.
Again, first.
Yep.
Yeah. This episode is just an episode of firsts.
First.
I also want to talk about some of their RIAA awards. If you're not familiar, RIAA is like the group that certifies and defines success in the record music industry with, like, gold and platinum. This was originally conceived to honor artists and track sound recording sales. And gold and platinum awards have come to stand as a benchmark of success for any artist, whether they've just released their first song or their greatest hits album. So it's very sought after. So BTS has quite a few certified gold and platinum.
Yeah, so for certified gold, they achieved their first on February 9th, 2018 with DNA, again on August 8th, 2018 with Fake Love, and then August 22nd, 2019 with Map of the Soul Persona.
Wow. I love that the whole album, the whole album was certified gold.
Yes.
Certified platinum, their first song to be certified platinum was November 9th, 2018 with Mic Drop. Incredible. The second one was June 20th of 2019 with Boy With Love featuring Halsey.
Yes.
And then January 16th, 2020, the beginning of this year, with Love Yourself Answer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The whole album.
The whole album. Totally deserved it.
Yes,
completely.
It did.
Mm-hmm. And then on the same day, Idol also was certified platinum. Of course.
Incredible song. Idol, yes.
And then just recently, on November 16th of this year, Map of the Soul 7, the whole album was certified platinum.
And it came out this year.
And it came out this year.
And it's not even over. 2020 is not even done.
It's not even over. It's barely been 6 months since this album came out. And for it to be certified platinum, I think is fucking incredible. I mean, I'm sure B will be certified platinum, you know.
Very soon.
Very soon. I'm going to say by March of next year.
Oh.
Let's say.
Okay.
Okay. Let's revisit in March.
If we remember. So a lot of massive accomplishments, so many awards, things going platinum and gold. It just, they've achieved so much over their entire career
here.
Their
entire career. Mm-hmm. And all of these moments were moments that completely changed, their lives. Mm-hmm. It made them realize, oh, we're growing. Oh, we can do this. We have these opportunities. And I think that they've just been chasing every single opportunity and they continue to succeed. They continue to pull through and to dominate. And like you said, they just go up in little increments. They're just chiseling away at the glass ceiling at every turn. Whatever the next one is, they're just chiseling away at it.
And with each of these achievements, just more and more heads are turning.
That's so true.
They're just getting more and more popular. We always keep talking about, like, when is the pivotal moment, you know? When does it, it's like, oh, they're at the peak? And they're just not there yet.
They
just keep going. Yeah.
But I think life goes on. It getting number one to me is such a pivotal moment.
Oh yeah.
This is so fucking huge
to
me.
It's just crazy. What's crazy about this, I'm sorry, is that it's happened in the span of 3 months. Like these things, like 2020 has been a huge year for them. But within these last 3 months with the Billboard Hot 100, like charting number one with three different songs.
Crazy.
What is happening?
Especially, like, I think...
They were literally like, all right, we're not going to go on a world tour, so we're just going to spend all our time putting out, you know, our good music and doing our absolute best.
Yeah.
And this is what is happening. They're achieving so much by doing so.
And, you know, they didn't sit back and say, well, 2020 is a wash.
Yeah, yeah.
They literally were like, what can we do?
They're so inspiring.
They're so inspiring.
Yeah.
They, I mean, as we were going through, I did not expect that 2020 was going to have the most amount of accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And I guess it makes sense because as they've been going, they've been gaining just a little bit more every time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you could say maybe two or three big accomplishments a year would be mm-hmm. huge.
Yeah.
To have like seven that mm-hmm. we've talked about for just 2020 is fucking insane.
It's insane.
For the year that this has been, where they missed out on a tour, they, you know, they had to completely change everything that they were doing, just like everyone else did.
Imagine the reunion at the next concert, like after all of this immense success to reunite. Like, I'm sure BTS can't wait to see RMI and just thank us in person.
In this year, we have supported each other so freaking much. And when BTS gave us an incredible album, all of ARMY supported.
So we will, of course, put this Google Doc on our Patreon for all of you Iconics who support us there. Mm-hmm. We have other lists just linked in here, like to different pages where you can see some more of their awards and nominations, their Guinness records, which we didn't even touch on today. But we really felt the need to just go over all of this because we're feeling the love. I love that when they succeed, ARMY feels like a form of accomplishment as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just so happy for them. I'm so glad that we got to get together this week just on a whim and record this episode and just talk about how much we love them and how fucking incredible they are.
I know.
They're just so incredible.
We're just so happy for
them. So proud. I mean, mm-hmm. just before we recorded and we watched the 2016 Mama acceptance again, I mean, it was just like, oh, so overjoyed. And that happened 4 years ago, you know?
I just love to cheer them on.
I love them.
It's the best. And I love that we started this episode back in 2013 to just really touch on how far they've come. They're the best underdog story.
They are the best underdog story. Yeah. So thank you guys for being here and for listening. And a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially our VIP Iconics, Eileen Ruchal, Michelle Park, Deja, and Meg DiRuggiero. We love you guys so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for supporting us. Thank you, Rachel, for your amazing email, for reaching out to us. We love to hear from you guys. If you would like to reach out to us, you know, you don't have to write us a big, long email like Rachel if you don't want to, but we would still love to hear from you, okay?
We love hearing from you guys.
We want to get to know you. Yeah. Like, it's the whole reason why we have this pod. Yeah. You know?
I can't wait till February for Valentine's Day when we get to do another Being an ARMY episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
We just love hearing your guys' stories.
It's literally the best. So anyways, guys, reach out to us. Send us an email, standingbtspodcast@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Twitter, standingbtspod, or Instagram, the same thing. Or follow us on Facebook.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd love to hear from you guys. And of course, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.